Hello and welcome. This is Luke Cassidy for the Online Desk. Today I'm speaking to Harry McGee, political correspondent for the Irish Times. This week marked Enda Kenny's first real test in the Dáil as the Taoiseach. How did he perform?
If people had high expectations of Enda Kenny's first stint at Leaders' Questions, I think they were slightly disappointed. It turned out to be a relatively tame affair. Enda Kenny, as the new Taoiseach, was facing Leaders' Questions not from one or from two opposition leaders, but from three. That was Micheál Martin, the leader of Fianna Fáil, Gerry Adams, the leader of Sinn Féin, and Joe Higgins, who was speaking on behalf of the United Left Alliance and also on behalf of the group of 16 independents that have come together to form a technical group. And I think the wind was taken out of the sails very quickly when it became apparent that Micheál Martin was not going to adopt a confrontational or abrasive approach to his question to Enda Kenny. And in fact, he praised Enda Kenny in relation to the stance he took at the European Commission, or the meeting of European leaders last week, in which he had a so-called Gaelic spat with Nicolas Sarkozy and also tangled with Angela Merkel and with others over the in relation to the issue of burden sharing and also in relation to interest rates. But what they were putting pressure on Enda Kenny last week was to effect some changes to Ireland's rate of corporation tax. And Enda Kenny was not willing to do that. He had no intention of doing that, and he stood firm. And Micheál Martin actually praised him for that. He said that was the right thing to do. All of the conventional political parties believe that the 12.5% rate of corporation tax is sacrosanct in Ireland. Gerry Adams is an imposing figure, and he's not everybody's cup of tea, but he did try to impose his will on the Dáil during the first session yesterday, interrupted a lot, spoke a lot, essentially metaphorically through his weight around. He tackled the government and Enda Kenny in relation to the bailout. His proposal, his latest proposal from Sinn Féin, is that there should be a referendum in relation to the bailout, that people should be asked to approve the bailout by plebiscite before giving approval to it. And Enda Kenny effectively batted that one back by saying, well, in fact, we did have a referendum, we did have a plebiscite, it was called the general election. Everybody knew where everybody stood, and they backed me, they didn't back you. And Gerry Adams was able to respond to that, but really he had no answer to it. So I think Enda Kenny did relatively well. And then Joe Higgins can be extraordinarily witty. He can be sometimes be a little bit didactic and pedantic and slightly long-winded. And he was in the latter mode yesterday, a very serious contribution, an attack again on the government in relation to the banks, in relation to its handling of the economy, in relation to its treatment of bondholders and interest rate. And he said what he had to say, and Enda Kenny said what he had to say, and you felt that when they were dialoguing that each was responding to themselves rather than the other person.
Some of the first acts of the new government have seen a drop in ministers' pay, cutting back of state cars. Are these moves merely optics, or is it really a break from the old regime?
Well, there is a principle in the law of equity that justice should not only be done but should also seem to be done. And what we were seeing is that being applied in the sphere of politics over the first couple of days. What the government have been doing has been mainly gestural. I mean, it's not going to make any difference in terms of the amount of money the state is going to save. But the government is applying the logic of physician, heal thyself. What they've done at the start is saying that everybody is going to be in for a very tough time over the next couple of years. Everybody will be required to make a sacrifice. So we are going to lead by example. So the first thing that the government did was that it reduced ministerial and the Taoiseach's pay. Not by very much. They're still extraordinarily well recompensed in comparison to many European comparators. If you look at the Prime Minister of Sweden, for example, he gets paid €130,000 per annum. The Prime Minister of Spain, Zapatero, gets €93,000 per annum. Enda Kenny still gets €200,000 annum, which is comparatively still a lot. I mean, we were talking about funny money during the Celtic Tiger, but they have reduced it. The second gesture they have done is there's been a very unfortunate image of ministerial mercs, and it was cemented by the ministerial meeting in Farmley last year, in which cameras captured line after line of big, sleek, limousine Merck arriving at the gates of Farmley carrying individual ministers. And during a time of crisis, the optics of that were extraordinarily bad. So from the get-go, this government has been very conscious not to show that it is not a government of excess, it's a government of caution, and it's a government that will be quite parsimonious in terms of its own spending. So the ministers went to the Auris in a bus, and now the latest thing that they've announced is that there will be no ministerial limousines for ministers other than the top four or five. They will have to provide their own cars, and they will have civilian drivers rather than state drivers. So they're saying that the overall cost was 7.5 million. When they were using the 54 Gorda drivers, they're now saying that the cost will be reduced by 4 million, which is a substantial saving. Not going to make much difference when you're talking about the billions that we are in hock to the ECB and the IMF, but at least it's gestural.
And finally, Harry, this week marks the annual exodus of ministers for St. Patrick's Day. Is there any tangible benefits for these trips, or are they merely junkets?
Well, the one to Washington is definitely a plus, and there's no doubt that the trip of the Taoiseach to meet the President of the United States is always a massive event. It generates huge publicity in the States and globally, and it does provide a massive marketing boon for Ireland. So as far as the Washington trip is concerned, yes, it does provide a big boost for Ireland. Others, I think, less so. When you look at the costs, look at the time the ministers are away, look at the kind of coverage they get. It's good in terms of networking. I think I always believe the minister should go abroad. I mean, we can't seal ourselves off and say that we're an island and kind of rely just on technology to communicate with us. I think physical presence is always important. I think the St. Patrick's Day in the past were excessive. I think there was a bit of boasting to do with it. I think there was a slight element of junketeering to it. And I think that they were due for a reappraisal. And I think that the compromise that they reached is a relatively sensible compromise. 8 trips abroad to 8 strategic locations. I think that there are very tailored events that have been organised in each of those places that will benefit Ireland from a tourism point of view and from a business point of view. I would be of the opinion that perhaps they might look at it again next year and maybe extend it to 10 or 12. But having 30 ministers, between senior ministers and junior ministers, flying all over the world at a cost of millions and millions of euro to the taxpayer, with no evidence to suggest that it was really giving any kind of a tangible return to Ireland, I think that practice can no longer be tolerated. I think that they have to, like everything else in our society, we have to cut our cloth to suit our measure. And I think that's one of the things that this government will do. 8, maybe a little bit too little, but maybe 12, 15, I don't know.
Well, Harry, we'll see what happens when they get back. Thank you very much.